on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, this episode of The Read is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Forget about Magic Shave and forget about clippers. We deserve better products that work better for us, so check out GetBevel.com today and use code THERead to get 20% off your first month. That's GetBevel.com, GetBevel.com. You're going to love it. We know we do. And now we're going to get the show started. Kick it with you.
Used to bees don't make no honey. Okay. So don't nobody care what you used to be.
Why? What the fuck do you be going through? Like, seriously? Hi.
Used to bees don't make no honey. So don't nobody care what you used to be.
All right. So you just go keep taking yourself down.
You, okay, I'm D Woods.
And I am Sophia Petrillo.
And this is The Read.
Why are you D Woods?
So I didn't expect for you to know this, but Candy had a play called A Mother's Love based on her own.
I know about A Mother's Love.
Shit situation with her mother and her.
Right. Now,
whatever. And D Woods was randomly in it, Juanita. And there's this song in there. I think it's called Used to Bees or something. But during the episodes, a lot of times when they would talk about the play, they would cut to this scene. There was like a cold read or something. And D Woods is sitting at the table looking at the script. And she just goes, "Used to Bees don't make no honey. So don't nobody care what you used to be."
Is that one of the lines?
That's how the song goes.
Oh, help us, Jesus.
It's so funny every time.
I love it. Okay, that's fine.
Anyway.
So you're D Woods.
I am Juanita. And nobody wanted me back in the group.
Okay. And the group is no more.
So I guess I didn't
really
miss shit.
And that's really the way it should have been. Should have died with the TV show. But anyway.
So this is The Read.
It is. Welcome back to another week of us.
You know, just wish me luck here.
What do you mean?
I don't know if I'm going to make it.
So sure you are. I mean, I feel like the news has been shitty this week, but I feel like you're going to get through this show just fine. See, I'm being positive. I'm putting positive shit
I'm
out there.
I'm 75% here.
All right.
Let's just say that.
Oh, so you're lifted on out of the room and in some
Black
of the
excellence.
Galaxy. That's what I thought.
So for today's Black Excellence, I would like to acknowledge a woman by the name of Dr., pray for me here, Wangari Maathai. I'm so sorry, Kenya. I did the absolute best that I can. But this is a doctor. She was the first woman in East and Central Africa to gain a PhD in biology. Now, I've watched her. There's this movie called Taking Root, mm-hmm. and it's about Dr. Maathai, and she started an organization called Green Belt Movement or the Green Belt Movement in 1977. And it's basically, it was like a huge team of women in Africa that were planting trees. She's an environmentalist. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. It was just kind of like in an effort to reduce like soil erosion and like loss of water, droughts and all of that.
Okay.
And so she just teamed up with her girls and said, well, let's get to planting. They've planted to date 30 million trees across different countries in Africa, like Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Kenya, of course. She was the first environmentalist to receive a Nobel Peace Prize in 2004. I read that she was also the first African woman to receive a Nobel Peace Prize. I butchered her name, I feel like.
Yeah, probably.
But she's an awesome, awesome example of Black power, Black love, Black history. Mm-hmm. Being that it's February, I wanted to remind people that this is usually the month where we say, hey, look at us and how awesome we are and have been forever. So I just wanted to do something interesting and just recognize a Black woman who, you know, changed the world and did something awesome. And I also really love a part of her story that I read, like one of her ex-husbands had an issue with her and wanted to divorce her because he said that she was too strong-minded for a woman and couldn't be controlled.
That sounds like my life goal. Like, that sounds like all I want to be.
He was over it.
It sounds like my goals, seriously. It's just like all I want to do in life is be uncontrollable and have people be like, why
told
can't we do anything with
bitch
this
bitch? To have my fucking food ready on time and she told me to go fuck myself.
Divorce. This bitch got too much book learning. I can't do it.
Anyway, I just feel like Dr. Matai is an excellent example of
love
and changing the world. I actually got a little emotional when I watched the documentary again because we're just so like,
just dope as hell,
just awesome, awesome people. And it just really sucks that we can like live in an age where we're led to feel like we ain't shit or we're less than. It's like, girl, like we.
No, but we actually built this, so.
All of this the way
this
it is.
This is all ours. So, I mean, you're welcome.
Just, you know, piss off. So that's Black Excellence. So it's time for. Bitch, you guessed it! What? This past week was.
Why would you do? Oh my God.
The Grammys.
I'm gonna start taking my fucking headphones off. All right. Yeah, it was the Grammys this weekend. It was on Sunday. Did you watch?
Watch feels strong.
So what did you see at the Grammys?
You know what? I don't even really remember most of the shit that I watched. It was so fucking boring. I don't know why I watched. They used me. They used me again. Mm-hmm. They said, hey, Beyonce's gonna be here. She's gonna do something. So, hey, girl. Sunday. And I was like, well, Beyonce's gonna be there, so girl, I guess. You know, so
I'm here, right. And I wasn't even looking at the performance part of it. I was focused on the Grammys, specifically the album of the year. I wanted to see Beyonce win that award. And
so before we even get there.
Okay. All right.
Let's just skim. Like, let me just mention things that I actually did enjoy.
All right. Yes. Positivity.
Let's start on a positive note. NDRE had her hand smacked by Lady Gaga's manager.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was
funny.
Iggy Azalea won nothing.
That is hilarious.
That
was the only reason I was able to sleep
toasty.
Well on Sunday.
I really loved Sia's performance, but I really love Sia's visuals. I think that I'm probably one of the few people that just really, I think, get it and find it entertaining. I don't really know why she hides her face all the time. We all know what she looks like. I mean, I know what she... Whatever. I just love her visuals. I love that Kristen Wiig performed for her. I thought that it was dope. And I think Maddie Ziegler is a fucking beast. I enjoyed Rihanna's performance. It made me actually purchase her song.
Yes, I did too. And I previously did not care for the song. But Rihanna's voice live sounded so good that I was like really impressed by the performance itself. No, she sounded much better than I can
she
ever.
She did her absolute
she has been working.
Motherfucking best.
And the people on Twitter told me that she's been working with Whitney's previous vocal coach, which just seems to me that if it is true, then it was a very smart idea. Because I just feel like Rihanna sounds better than she ever has before. So kudos to her. You bought the song on iTunes?
Yeah, I did. I kind of felt like it would eventually grow on me because it sounds like it's about, it sounds like it's just about having enough at your 9-to-5 and just being like, I wish that this white bitch would say anything about, like, anything I don't want to hear in the break room, like, because I will smack the absolute dog shit out of her and fuck my manager. It really just sounds like a bitch, like, at his or her wit's end.
Yeah.
And just ready to fight anyone. And that entertains me.
Okay.
It just sounds like it's about fighting.
Did you have
like.
Any other moments from the Grammys that you thought were good or things you liked?
Did anybody fall?
No. I liked Katy Perry's dress because it looked like Solange's wedding dress. So I guess that's a nice thing to say. And, oh, well, I mean, as far as clothes are concerned, I thought Taylor Swift looked very nice. And
Kanye West is apparently working with Taylor Swift on some kind of musical collaboration.
Bitch, I heard that too. Now, listen, I understand y'all made up and it's all good and forget the VMAs. That's great. Like, I'm all for moving forward. But what the fuck are Kanye and Taylor Swift going to do together in the studio, my nigga? Like, this is about to be.
So if Kanye West just did a song with Paul McCartney, it's not that I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like you're doing it to do it. Like, look at us. We friends and shit now. Oh, my goodness. Look, white people, you ain't got to be mad at me no more. Okay. Well,
I don't
but
feel
it could
like Kanye
be good. If Kanye does like a kind of a stripped back acoustic, like a bound two or something, but not like the same song, but kind of like a jazzy rap over it, have her sing a hook. Look, Taylor Swift,
okay,
as demonic as I believe that she is, produces good records.
I can't see Taylor Swift with a rapper on her fucking song, like a real one.
Why not? She want to be one.
Exactly that. I can see her with her breakdown, middle school white girl rap and this sick beat and all that shit. I cannot see her with no rapper. If anything, I think Kanye will like produce the record maybe or something like that. But I don't think he'll actually be on it. That sounds crazy.
I think that there's a chance that it could actually sound good. I just don't want to hear. Like, I don't
care. Well, I mean, anything is possible. Anything is possible. But I'm thinking about the likelihood of this shit. I just don't. I'll keep it. But I will say that I have been a lot kinder towards Taylor Swift than you have. So I feel like this is maybe the thing that's going to get you into.
There ain't going to be shit that gets me into anything.
I feel like you're on your way. No.
Ends with Swift. The bitch can make a good song.
I feel like you're on your way.
I'm not on my way to anywhere but the fucking house after this shit is over. So I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't think that you're on your way to becoming like a Taylor Swift. Not even a fan.
No.
But, but just maybe not
Never.
Hating. Okay. All right, I tried.
Tolerating her?
Yes, yes.
As in not feeling nauseous when I see her on a TV?
Feeling neutral when you see her on a TV. You don't even have to have positive feelings, but I feel like
I almost always, at the very least, feel like, ugh, when I see her.
I know, but I think you're getting towards neutrality.
I don't trust her.
I'm proud of you. I know you don't, but this record might be the thing.
There's something wrong with her.
Okay. I mean, shit, I'm not finna argue with you about that. I just don't think that she's that bad of a person. Like, maybe a little bit shady or whatever. I don't know about that shit with Katy Perry. It just seems like some white girl drama. But I feel like overall, Taylor Swift cannot be that bad, right?
I feel like Taylor Swift
has
conversations in her closet with people that aren't there. And they tell her.
Okay. All right. So we can just, whatever.
Just smile real hard all the time.
Okay. Yeah, they do.
Does
she communicate with spirits from, like, hell? Like, what are you even talking about right now?
Whatever poltergeists do. Stop asking. Listen, I just don't trust her. And that's all I'm saying.
So let's get to the bad part of the Grammys then.
Everything else.
Literally, I felt like it was just.
First of all, why is LL Cool J still hosting this show? It's no shade. LL Cool J is legend and LL Cool J has all of my respect.
Yeah.
But it's just like boring.
It's like getting your uncle to come and he's like trying to be cool and hang out and relate to the young people. It's just like, oh,
he's just always like, yo, look how crazy this is. One night a year, people like Sam Smith can be sitting next to young Jeezy. Like, girl, so?
Like, who even gives a shit? What are you even
all
talking about?
All walks of life, folk music, rap that they're never going to present. Rock, like, it's just, okay, whatever.
Right. He's just is doing a lot, I think, for the sake of the hosting gig.
Thing is, I'm grown now, so I know that the Grammys aren't this, like, it's not like Mount Olympus where all of the gods come together and they, you know, drink the finest ale and celebrate, you know, crown achievements and give out, like, it's not that.
Right.
It's a whole bunch of, like, people in the music industry bubble in, and then they put, you know, send it in, put it in a computer, and it counts some shit. And the rest of it is just, how can we keep the ratings up and stay paid? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Fine. I didn't get my hopes up too high when it came to the awards that Beyonce was. I really didn't even know what she was nominated for besides Album of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the one award that I said, well, they have to give her this.
Right. It just seemed.
But even then, I said, you know, the Grammys like to play games. Most of these award shows today like to play games.
Mm-hmm.
So let me not be too invested in it. So they gave her award to Beck. I was already kind of shocked when the show started and I realized that Beck was nominated for all of these awards, because I was like, nigga, Beck. I didn't even know that Beck was back.
Since 99, since two turntables and a microphone. Whenever that shit came out was the last time I heard Beck's name being said.
Now, I'm like a fan of Beck's music, so it's not like I don't fuck with him at all. I think the last song that I remember buying from Beck was Time Bomb. That was 2007,
all right,
according to my iTunes.
Okay.
So I know who he is. I like his music. Mm-hmm. Had no idea that he had an album out. I listened to it. So they gave Beyonce's award to Beck.
Okay.
And that's, you know, whatever. Like, fucking fine. Because at the end of the day, Beck thought Beyonce was about to win that award. We all thought Beyonce was about to win that motherfucking award, because Beyonce should have won that award. Besides the fact that I think sonically we're talking about a better album. Like, the music itself, I feel like, is better than Beck's album. Not to say that Beck's album's bad, because I like his new album too after I listened to it. But it's kind of just like folk. Like, it's kind of like an acoustic rock.
He gave me hipster folk acoustic vibes.
But like, he's done all kinds of sounds.
Like, I respect him as a musician. I know he's very talented and he plays all these different instruments or whatever. I just felt like nobody could top the impact and the overall, like, the importance of Beyonce and the self-titled album. I just felt like it clearly eclipsed everything else in the category.
That's what I'm saying. Even if you take the music aside, even if they, like, sounded extremely similar. Mm-hmm. Or even, like, you're talking about, too, like, the Beyonce album was, like, a statement. Like, she put it out. We didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know that it was coming. We didn't know what it was going to sound like. We knew nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
At all. And she put out not only an album, but an album complete with visuals for every single song on mm-hmm. it, just out of nowhere. Just, here you go, it's on iTunes, buy it if you want, if you don't, whatever. Like, and
I'll be having my vegan cupcakes and enjoying my vacation. Like, this bitch, she fucked us up.
And the numbers slayed immediately. Like, it was it wasn't just an album. Like, she fucked everything up. She set a mark. Like, now look at all these girls who are out here just trying to drop little albums on you, like, hey girl, my iTunes, blah, blah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, besides the music, which was great, every aspect of that album, I don't see any other album that really made a statement or had an impact. Not any that came out, not any that were nominated against her. And there were nominees for Album of the Year this year that were great albums. I just think Beyonce should have won. She didn't. Fucking whatever.
Absolutely.
Fucking whatever. She still got her three other fucking Grammys, and mm-hmm. now she's got 217, and it is what it fucking is.
Okay.
So kiss taint. How about that?
I feel like that Jay-Z and Beyonce and Blue Ivy got in the limo after that show, and they all poured something into a Grammy and just sipped from it. Like, we're not even pressed about the fact that
she should have won.
I feel like everybody else
in her heart She knows
it. And that's why her face was lit up like that when Kanye's ass was going up on stage. She was like, oh no, Kanye. But her face was like, Dalia, give her shit. Like,
she was like, no Kanye. And Kanye, then she don't. Died laughing. No one looked as concerned as Jay-Z did.
Jay-Z looked like he was about to stroke the fuck out.
He was like, this nigga.
He was like, if I have to explain this nigga's shenanigans to white people one more fucking time. He looked sick. He looked sick. And Tata was just like, do it, nigga. Do it. Do it.
Everybody was like, no one disagreed.
Angie was like, he's doing it. He's doing it. Like, everybody's, it was just like, let Kanye. I mean,
even
right.
I was like, yes, perched right next to your Kardashian. You fly right over there to that microphone. You tell these motherfuckers what it is. Because how did, and he wasn't joking. That was right. The funny thing about it. Like, he let it go, but it looked like Kanye let it go because he was literally like, you know what? Well, I'm not about to go through another 5 years of this bullshit. It didn't even look like
he
it was a joke.
He probably caught eyes with Taylor in the audience. She was just like, no.
Yeah, he probably got her and was like, it was like a swift reminder.
Yeah. I see what you did.
It wasn't intentional. Sure? No pun intended at all.
Sure it wasn't.
It was a reminder that was just like, I'm not about to go.
I'm not doing this
but
again.
But it looked like he really was about to be like, even Prince was like, girl.
Mm-hmm. Prince was like, Beck.
Girl.
It just seemed like, I cannot believe that they did not give Beyonce that award.
Prince was
fun.
Like, you bitches told me that I was giving this shit to Beyonce.
The
he
only
looked mad that
I
it wasn't going to be
he did. And he was like, well, even if they do fuck that up, I'm still come out here and do my shit about Black Lives Matter just like albums and books do. Like, I feel like Prince is at such a level of celebrity and like, legendary artist that he can get up on stage at the Grammys and say whatever the fuck he wants to, and there's nothing anybody's gonna do about it except deal with it and be mad.
That's gotta be a great like place to be in your life.
And it's, and he is just fuckless. He's just saying this shit like, I know you bitches are mad, I know white people are tweeting angry things right fucking now, bitch, and I don't care.
Was up there dressed like an orange Fanta.
Yes.
Wanna don't you wanna.
You so stupid.
And I'm just exuding nothing but rich aunt. Mm-hmm. You know, like the aunts who like married rich or like got like paid attention in school, mm-hmm. and got a doctorate and like is paid and all her sisters hate her.
He just, yes, actually. First
I just
of
feel
all.
Like Prince is the best.
But he looked like he had been backstage for the entire show. Like, I've been coming to the Grammys for, what, 25, 30 years, and this is the shit that they're giving up. Like, these are the people who are getting this shit now.
Right.
Like, this is the shit that y'all are awarding. This is music. Like, he just looked fed up and disgusted with the whole damn program. So he was like, let me just go out here and keep it real, real quick. Give my bitch Beyonce her shit and go home. And so then the look on his face, everybody was shocked.
Everyone was dumbfounded.
Everybody thought Beyonce was a shoe-in for that award. But
if
I
you actually
like,
play it back again and like listen very closely, you can hear in the background Blue Ivy goes, what? Like, she's like, like you can hear from backstage, she was pissed.
I thought you was about to be serious.
No, so I just like, I was livid, but I just, whatever. It's, people know what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Whatever.
I'm over it. I mean, I was over it almost immediately, but I just felt
even
like
when Kanye said he should have given that shit.
Well, see, and then Kanye, that's the thing. Like, during the show, it seemed like it was just going to be like a funny joke. Oh, haha, Kanye almost Kanye'd. But then afterwards, during the E! Interview, he was like,
he meant it.
So let me get back to being super serious about Beyonce and this award that she should have won and Beck needs to respect. This is why
we're tired of it. Like, he was
like talking about how Beck needs to respect artistry and all that. I see what Kanye is saying, but he used the wrong words to convey it. Like, I feel like if he would have said, you know, Beck should, well, asking somebody else to give up their award in the first place is fucking crazy. Because the thing about it is, no matter how you feel about it, that man won. And it's, I think it's ridiculous to expect him to give away his moment or give away his award. Like, I just think that is preposterous. But if you were going to say that to him, then at least say, you know, I feel like you should respect the impact of this album and how fucking huge it was and how it's changed the industry and all this. Not respect artistry, because Beck is artistry
no
in his own right.
Fucking lie. If I were Beck, if I had been Beck in that situation, I would have gone up there and I would have been like, I would like to thank Beyonce for creating the album of the fucking year. And I would gone, my whole speech would have been standing for that fucking album. Mm-hmm. And then I would have kept my fucking award. I'd be like, you know what? I respect what you did for music. And like, your album literally is album of the year to me. I don't know what's going on. I'm just happy to be here, girl. But you know, like, I would have acknowledged it because it was a fuck. Like, come on.
I would have
acknowledged
her in my entire speech. I mean, I would have kept my Grammy.
Oh, I'm going home with mine.
Bitch, I'm taking my pictures.
Because at the end of the day, they voted for me, girl.
Right? Like, I'm so sorry you didn't win, queen. I don't get
it's a Grammy. But it's
this
mine.
This shit is mine, girl. You got 20.
You have 20. You will be just
and
fine.
Your husband got like, what, another 22, 23? Bitch, get the fuck out. Both
y'all
of them won.
Great.
They both got one for Drunken Love. So it's just like, all right, girl. All right.
I would have just given her a
giving
hearty
Beyonce
tribute.
Fucking Grammy.
And been like, well, thanks, Academy, and y'all have a great night. And I would have walked my ass to that press carpet and taken my goddamn picture.
That's really
I'm not giving nobody nothing.
That's really it. I'm not giving away a goddamn thing. Them white people wrote my name down on that ballot. That shit is mine.
I'd have been like, Beyonce, I feel disrespected for you.
Yes, girl. I don't
Bye.
Know why I'm up here.
But, girl, this belongs to me.
Okay, see you next time. Like, I don't know why I'm up here, sis, but...
But fuck back. That shit should have been... I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I was so mad.
Yeah. I mean, you think you Kanye. I mean, we were all mad. And I feel like every time a song from the album comes up on my iTunes, I'm just like, it's too fresh. I can't listen to self-titled right now because it makes me think of how she was just so completely robbed. Like... It's just,
whatever. Every year. It's every year, though. Someone every fucking year. Kendrick Lamar, Jesus, anybody that we just all love. They just can't, you know, whatever. So let's talk about Ledisi.
Now, you know we have to.
Okay. So the girls were apparently. All right. So. Fuck.
Be nice.
Listen, because I don't have an issue here with either one of these women.
Be nice.
The show was closed out by Beyonce, John Legend, and Common. John Legend and Common did Glory from the Selma soundtrack, which they were nominated for, I believe. I think they were also nominated. Like, did they win the Golden Globe for it? I think they won, like, Best Original Song.
I don't remember.
I think,
I don't
whatever.
Remember.
They've been winning, like, a whole bunch of shit. I'm so happy for them. They've been all over the place for this film.
And I like the song.
I love the song. So Beyonce sang Precious Lord, mm-hmm. Take My Hand.
Yes.
By Mahalia Jackson.
Come on, Mahalia.
In the film Selma, Ledisi portrays Mahalia Jackson and sings that song. So from what I've read, Beyonce approached John Legend, Common them, and asked if she could sing that song, and she wanted to bring, I think it was like 8 different men. Like, she had these different men with different stories, like racial profiling stories, issues with the police, what have you. Mm-hmm. And she did like this little mini documentary. She sang the song. I think most black people who've grown up in a church in this country just kind of know that song and, you know, have a story, you know, whatever. So she sang that record. A lot of people then took to the internet to express their anger, their frustrations.
Their pissed-offness, their pressness.
They felt like Ledisi should have been the one up there to sing the record. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing.
Going to get real. Just going to be 100% real about it. Do it.
Where the fuck have all of y'all been? This is my issue.
No.
Because, and I can say this because everybody knows that I'm a Beyonce fan, but I'm also a huge Ledisi fan. Mm-hmm. I bought The Truth. I bought The Intent motherfucking Truth. Y'all don't know nothing about them two albums, do you? I bet you don't know that she's on tour. I bet you don't know that Selma's not the only fucking movie she's done. I bet you ain't ever heard Pieces of Me, bitch, unless maybe you was driving to work and the shit came on Hot 105 or something. Like, stop. This is the thing. If Beyonce asked to sing that record, No one asked Lettucey to sing that record. No one said anything about Lettucey singing that shit at the NAACP Awards. No one asked Lettucey to participate and sing that motherfucker at the Golden Globes. I haven't heard Lettucey sing that shit live anywhere.
Maybe and she'll sing it at the Grammys.
I'm sure now Oscars. She'll be asked to sing the shit at the fucking Oscars. Absolutely. But as a Lettucey fan, I have seen time after time after time this woman has been underrated and not been acknowledged for the mother... Yet again, it happened with the motherfucking Grammys. Wasn't nobody gonna put Lettucey to sing last at the fucking Grammys to close out the show because y'all wouldn't have motherfucking watched it. You wanted to watch Beyonce. Even I tweeted, I'm just sitting here to watch the song, watch Beyonce sing this song that Lettucey should have sang. Because, frankly, I think that the song would have really been more impactful to the audience mm-hmm. and probably the people at home had Lettucey sang it. Because, listen... Listen, that woman.
No, she goes the fuck in. Like, I love Beyonce's version. I prefer Lettucey's, but I feel like Beyonce.
I loved what she
like,
did.
Like, I did not think it was bad at all. I just felt like y'all was mad that it wasn't Lettucey's voice. And that's fine. You can be mad all you want to, but the cold, hard truth about it is that nobody asked Lettucey to sing it.
No one asked her to sing it. And Lettucey has several albums out. Each one of them I have purchased because I actually like her music. And I feel like it's bitch made and it's pathetic to try and blame Beyonce. If Beyonce hadn't approached them in the first place and said, I want to sing this song and I want to do something special with it or whatever and create a little moment. If Beyonce had just gone to the motherfucking show and let Common and John Legend sing Glory by their goddamn self up there, no one would have said, hey, why isn't Lettucey singing this amazing song that she slayed for this soundtrack? Because no one has said anything about it all right. of these other motherfucking times.
Right.
No one has said anything about, hey, why hasn't Lettucey won this fucking award? Hey, why hasn't Lettucey... Like, the last time y'all I've seen y'all talk about Lettucey slaying something was when BT made y'all watch
her
sing Four Women mm-hmm. with Jill Scott, Kelly Price, and Marsha Ambrosia and Ashley.
And it was good.
Whatever
it was beautiful.
And she murked that. Mm-hmm. Even now... Beyonce maybe could have been like, hey girl, do you want to come up here and sing this record with me? Or hey, why don't y'all have Lettucey sing this or whatever? That's not Beyonce's motherfucking job. Beyonce wanted to sing the fucking record, nobody else was, and so she did it. Why bash? I just feel like the real thing is here is that it's just another excuse to belittle Beyonce mm-hmm. to me. Why bash either one of these women? Because then you have Beyonce fans who are like, don't nobody know who the fuck Lettucey is. Don't nobody care about Lettucey.
Why?
Instead of celebrating both of these beautiful black women who have amazing voices, who have great gifts, who are both talented, why don't you say, hey girl, Beyonce did that. Did you listen to Lettucey's version? Because she fucking killed it. Hey, did you know that Lettucey sang that? She played Mahalia Jackson in that movie. Have you ever heard Mahalia Jackson's version? Why not just celebrate the fucking song and like acknowledge, like, why does it have to be something fucking petty? Because the cold hard fact is, ain't nobody asked Lettucey to sing that motherfucking song. Mm-hmm. And the reason nobody asked Lettucey to sing that song is because none of y'all pay any goddamn attention to her. You don't support her motherfucking voice. You just would rather be paying attention to all of these other famous bitches out here and all their goddamn business and making the jokes and throwing the shade and all of that's well and good. But don't sit up here and try and act like you're defending someone who's been singing her motherfucking ass off for years and you didn't know nothing a fucking about it. What are you talking about? Lettucey is not the only underrated artist either. Like, why don't you just support great artists? Why don't you, like, you have people like India Shawn, Jarrell mm-hmm. Perry, like young artists right now who have full length albums out that are fucking amazing. I've talked about Laura Mavula on this show before. Like, beautiful fucking voice, amazing visuals, and y'all don't know shit about them. Or you just, or you do and you just don't fucking care. You rather be like, flop, nobody knows who that is. But if they sing a song and Beyonce happens to perform it and they weren't asked, fuck Beyonce, you stole that person's moment. No, bitch, you never allowed that bitch to have a moment because they've been out here working their asses off for the longest time, but you would rather fucking listen to Trey Songz and August Alsina sing about slapping your girlfriend in the face with their dick. Girl, bye. Shut the fuck up. No one stealed anybody's motherfucking moment. If it weren't for Beyonce, yes. It wouldn't have been a fucking moment to begin with. So why don't you use this moment mm-hmm. to celebrate Beyonce, celebrate Ledisi. Say, hey, girl, she's got an album out called Pieces of Me. She's got an album out called her latest album, The Intimate Truth, is actually like a re-release of The Truth. It's acoustic. She sounds fucking fantastic. She's on tour right now. Let's all buy tickets and go support a wonderful black voice. No, you don't want to do that. You just want to be messy and say why Beyonce sucks, because just Beyonce just ain't shit and all she knows how to do is steal. Fuck that. Support great artistry. Why don't you do that instead? The fucking Grammys don't give a fuck about Ledisi. They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck about Beyonce. They gave her goddamn award to Beck.
The Grammys give a fuck about ratings. Who do you think is bigger for ratings, Beyonce or Ledisi? Please. Them white people didn't even have a decision.
They don't give a fuck about Mahalia Jackson.
Nope.
Glory.
Nope.
A Precious Lord.
Nope.
Hands being taken. They don't care about none of that. They care about you staying tuned, bitch, because mm-hmm. they want that fucking money. And that's what you did. And instead of recognizing that, you would much rather bash two talented black women that aren't even bothering each other. Like, girl, goodbye.
I mean, was that your read this week? Because damn.
It wasn't. I've got another one. But okay. I mean, that shit was so whack to me. Like, I think it's because I love Ledisi so much. And it's like, girl, I've watched this woman slay stage after stage and put album after album out. And it's not to say that nobody fucking lists. She has loads of fans.
Yeah.
But she's severely underrated.
She is.
It's like somebody complaining about Janelle Monáe not having a moment. Like,
oh, don't get me started. Like, I like Ledisi, but honestly, if she's not on a BET awards show, then I usually don't seek her out. Like, if I want to hear some, oh, I know this bitch is about to go in music, then I know I can turn her on and hear her voice. But don't talk to me about Janelle Monáe. Like, now that is one that I know up and down, back and forth. And I will sit up here and argue with you about her. Like, why is she not? Why are y'all not supporting? No, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it.
Anyway, I just needed to get that off my chest. I think that Beyonce was robbed. I liked her version of the song, mm-hmm. but I do think that had Ledisi sang it, I would have cried. I feel like probably like the whole entire venue would have probably been in tears. She's just got a whatever.
She
I
has
love
one of
both
those voices.
She's got
yeah.
one of those voices.
She does. And that's just what it is, what it is.
Hey, buy an album.
So, are the Grammys the only thing? But we've been talking about the Grammys for like half an hour.
I mean,
hour,
unless you
so.
Want to talk about Iggy Azalea and Papa John's.
Bitch, yes, let's talk about Iggy Azalea and Papa John's.
You're Can so we, petty.
No, because that's going to be my read this week.
Is it? Well, then let's just save it. So, let's take a break and then come back.
All right. Hey guys, if you have a boo and you have not bought them anything for Valentine's Day yet, it is officially last minute and you are slipping. I cannot believe you are this late. Hurry up and go to berries.com and type in code THEREAD. They have giant freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99, and you get a 40% savings by using that code THEREAD. That's T-H-E space R-E-A-D. Listen, if your girl told you she didn't want anything for Valentine's Day, what you know for certain is that she's going to want at least a little bit of something. And everybody loves fruit. You can get all different kinds of stuff dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness, and it can be topped with all kinds of stuff like chocolate chips, swizzle, and nuts. And again, you get 40% off with code THEREAD. These are great, like giant, fresh, juicy berries. So again, head on over to Sherry's Berries. They're giving you guys a great Valentine's Day special. You do not have a lot of time, so hurry up. They even deliver on Saturday. So get over to berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone and type in code THEREAD. Order today and have a great Valentine's Day. And let's get back to the show.
So we're back, and I'm extremely excited to say that we have a guest on the show this week. Friend of the show, I feel like.
Yes.
Wonderful artist, beautiful voice. Totally gets me. It's a stale.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm good.
These how two are best friends.
No, I say that because like you've listened to the read before.
I have.
And I've always thought that was so cool. Stale like was one of the first celebrities.
Okay.
That was like, oh hey, I see what you're doing over there, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So that's
really dope.
I appreciate that. And yeah. Also, last year, for Comic-Con. Mm. I came out there real quickly and she gave me her pass because she was about to go. And she allowed me to run around there and go be a nerd. Oh. So I appreciate that as well.
So you're the reason he has that samurai sword. Okay.
It was funny though, wasn't it?
So much shit. I'm trying to tell her. Can you tell her Comic-Con is fun?
It is. It's an experience. People go so far. You think it's like, think of it like Halloween, but really well done.
I told you.
That's exactly what he said.
Incredible. Yeah, I'm glad.
Anyway, well, okay. We'll get to that in a moment. God. Estelle's here. We're going to talk about True Romance.
Yeah.
February 17th.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So this is your fourth album.
I pretty much do this for a living now.
This is the job.
This is my job.
So from what I gather for this album, because I'm just a bit of a bad bitch and I get things like that.
Oh.
It seems as though True Romance seems to encompass like the ups and downs of a relationship, you know, from the explosive moments of passion to just the utter shit.
This explanation is wonderful.
And just like sticking it out, because that's what true romance is.
Well, something like that, yes.
Actually, hey, look, I was close. Like
you got it.
You know, this is like the in-between album for me. I'll call it the in-between in the space of this. The last time people saw me, I was singing Thank You and I was peed. I was pissed off.
No, you can say whatever you want.
Right, yeah. I was in my moments and I was cussing out a guy like, boy, I found this American boy and he was full of shit, so thank you and I'm out, you know. And I didn't want to go write an album that felt like, yeah, I'm happy and I'm married because I'm still single and I'm not there yet, you know. I'm still figuring stuff out about myself. I get to live in spurts as an artist, you know. Yeah. We're always engaged in something, so I didn't want to be like, I don't want to lie. I'm not good at singing lies. I'm not good at being out here like, you know, this is how I feel today and I'm gonna entertain and perform. I lose patience with it halfway through. So I was like, let me write something that is real. And it's just in between. I went and had some great sex. I figured out some things that were wrong with me and some things my parents had told me that don't quite fit where I'm at right now. And you know, and I just did the work and I've been doing the work. So it's just, this is now.
I just love how like nonchalant and just very honest. You don't like sugarcoat anything. Like you just sing and you say what is on your mind. You say what you mean, and you're not necessarily always trying to find some
pretty way, you to
know,
say it.
Right? Some flowery it way. Yeah. It's just like, you know, make my pussy say blank.
Yes. Okay. All right. Hey, make it say.
Right.
That's
right.
How it feels. I don't know. With that record, it makes you laugh because everyone was like, "Did you say pussy?" I was like, "Oh God."
It's one of my favorites personally, and I just want to say, you know, I'm from Miami.
Of course, it is.
And it's just, that's one of those songs which just like, absolutely.
What do you need, Trina on the remix?
Right. Listen, I'm three steps away. Like, if I get to Miami, she has to come out. Just, I know she's
Trina, please.
Come on out. I love her. For me, my whole thing is this. I could sugarcoat it or I could say exactly how I feel. I feel like I have enough Baby Sweetheart Darling records. I have enough really emotional, very smart records. And that's not everyone's always emotionally smart and intelligent, and I'm not always that way. And sex to me isn't to be done in a way where it's really gentle and smooth and nice. And you know, and if you're singing a song about sex, does baby hold me tight, or does make a say, or make my pussy say, hit the mark, you know, which part are we going for? Like, I just, sometimes you need to be visceral, and I think humans are sometimes extremely, you know, aggressive, and then sometimes we're smooth and we got metaphors, and
I love it.
I like it too.
I'm about it.
It's really honest.
So I read somewhere that you were out of a relationship sometime not too long ago.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not trying to be all up in your business. We don't have to do all of that. But it seems as though like a lot of the new music was inspired by that. We had Jasmine Sullivan here not too long ago. Right, she had like a similar story. And so I mean, it's clear that relationships can be inspiring for your material. Do you feel like heartbreak is more inspiring, or is like puppy love, or both?
For me, it's more the what's the word? I would say for me, it feels like more my aspiration in love is more inspiring for me to write about. Like what I want it to be versus what it has been. Thank You was like one record on All of Me that, while the record dealt with a relationship falling down, that record was just the one aggressive, like, you're an asshole, fuck you, I'm out. You know?
You're right.
This record, I took the position of, this is what I want my relationships to be like. This is what I want to walk into. This is a man and the type of person I want to be when I walk into these moments. And I wrote 1,000 songs to everyone. Damn near 1,000. 10 songs to everyone we put on the album, you know? So it was like picking the best out of like 100 or 200 and something records that made that point in each space, in each category, you know, all the themes and stuff. So it's for me, it's aspiration. It's like, well, I couldn't write about it anymore. I couldn't sing thank you anymore. I couldn't be in that space anymore. Where do I want to be?
Right.
I want to be with all that matters. I want to be, I want some great sex. Make a say. Where, you know, something good. I feel good. You know, I feel like I'm in these spaces. So let me write about that.
What are some of the different themes that you're going to explore here specifically? Like, I already talked about how much I love, you know, Make or Say, I love something good.
Thank you.
But The Same was the record that got me together.
Thank you.
Listen, I don't know if you listened to read it, but it was just like...
Do you need to talk about it?
Listen, I just felt personally read. I felt like I was being addressed.
Okay.
Wow.
Maybe not for, you know, the current, because, you know, mind y'all's business. Oh. But at the same time...
All right. It was I see exactly where this is going.
What are some of the, like, the different things that you think, like, are scenarios that really stand out for you on this one?
The same was written about just getting the clarity that I was probably half to blame for sticking around in that last relationship while I was going through my, like, I'm good, I'm out. Oh, fuck, I remember why I don't like him.
Yeah.
And I probably aided and abetted that. Ugh. You know? And I literally sat in the studio and was like, this shit felt like, what did it feel like? It felt like I was going around in the same, doing the same thing in a circle. I wanted to be like, the circle. Mm-hmm. It's like, that don't make no sense. The same. And that's, you know, and I wrote like that. But it was literally that everyone was like, oh, you know, he's perfect for you. Y'all. And I was like, yeah, I just don't like him, though. I wasn't brave enough to say it. And I wasn't brave enough to be like that when I should have done it. I let it rock for a while.
Yeah.
And it was just trying to change things, trying to make, you know, and doing it all wrong and messing myself up along the way. Just shooting myself in the foot, left, right, and center. And so that song was like a brain fart in the middle of me recording all the other songs, talking about where I wanted to be and how, you know, I was just like, oh, damn it, I figured it out. Shit. You know, it was me. Oops. You know, and so that was what that was. I feel like you can't, when you leave one situation, you still kind of carry some of it with you. Unless you figure out exactly what it is that went wrong, or, you know, or learn from it, or get that test that God will keep putting you through done, you know? So it's that whole, I think I passed the test now, figured it out. Every time I feel like I'm in that space, I'm quick to run out of it. Like, oh no, we're not doing this again. We're not repeating. We're not, no.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to find that strength. And when I get it, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. I'm sorry. Oh,
no. It goes there.
I'm sorry. Okay.
But anyway, do you have a favorite a record on the album?
All That Matters.
All That Matters?
Yeah, it's the last one. Mm-hmm. It's a piano love song. It's one of the first ones I wrote. And that was my whole, what do I want to be when I'm with him, or what do I want to be when I'm in it? And that's what I want it to feel like, you know?
Right.
It's like, you have to start putting things in the air when you're that pissed off with life. You start being like, well, what do I actually want it to look like in real life? You know, you start really getting in that space. And that's what I had to do to, like, not write 1,000 more thank yous.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna go over here and write about the nice things. And that song is about, no matter what, through everything and through all the love. And it's inspired a little bit by my mom and my dad. They, you know, they were together when I was like, till I was 3, broke up for 20 years, got back together, and then got married 10 years later.
That's a very interesting story.
Yeah. So to me, it kind of, when I was off of marriage and off of that stuff, it was like, well, anything's possible, you know?
Yeah.
If they can do it, damn it, I'm all right. I'll get to it, you know, at some point. Figure it out. It'll be all right, you know.
No need to stress yourself out about it.
Exactly. And, you know, it was later in life for them, so it wasn't like I had to do it now. And it's like, all right, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know?
What is your definition of a fuckboy? Because on our show, we talk about fuckboys a lot.
I'm aware. I'm for it. I can break it down. I'm not very good with not smart men. Like, guys who are just not smart. Like, who cannot hold conversations, who do stupid shit and expect you to be cool with it because, well, the last girl they dated was cool with it.
Girl.
You know, like
the frustration,
I come with a lot. I come with a certain amount. My people around, everyone who I associate with is a certain level.
Yeah,
you know, and I thank God for that because I have no patience. Right. You know, I can't do it. So, you know, you get a lot of guys who, you know, they really believe they're hype,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and to me, that whole energy of like you should just do it because, well, everyone around me says I'm the shit is like. Go deal with them fuckers then. Go deal with them. I'm not the fucking one.
Right.
And
I
see, I'm telling, there's so many different forms of fuckboy. Mm. You have to just pay attention to all of them.
I think it's really just like anybody who's trying to like get you to do some shit that he wouldn't do himself, or he's just being like real or extra and disrespectful.
Exactly. I don't know. In this day and age, with so much access to information, it's confusing to me how people behave in the way they behave, and especially to just deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of, I get approached on Instagram, I get people tweet me out of turn or say stupid shit. So, for instance, someone will tweet on Instagram, I'm going to put a baby in you, and I was like, slow the fuck down.
Right.
Get the fuck off my page.
Right.
That's really disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Nothing about my page says you can say that to me. My tits staying out. My backside ain't out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that kind of artist. Shout out to you if that's your shit, but it's not mine. So, and that was the lone quote. I think that's disrespectful to say to somebody who doesn't give that energy out. So he's like, I was just joking. I was like, hey, miss me? I'll block you.
So
like,
you don't play around.
No, I'll go through my page and I curate.
So you don't deal with the mess on social media or anything like that.
You know, because I feel like sometimes it's for. You know, it's for the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just disrespectful. And to me, I was raised a certain way. I'm a grown-ass lady. Don't be stupid.
Yeah. Everybody's not here to bullshit around. No. And
that's what I love.
Be ridiculous.
That's what I love. So let's talk about the Grammys. Were you there? Did you watch them? What did you think?
I was out in LA. I didn't go to the actual Grammys. I make a point never to actually go unless I'm nominated or performing or something like that because it's a waste of hair and makeup.
So once you already have a Grammy, you're like, oh fuck it.
Well, no,
I'll go when I feel like
it. And honestly, like I went out there literally something like that. No. Let me put it like this: I went out there the year before I won the Grammy last time, and I went the next year, and so I went out again this year because I'm putting out an album, and you know, to take advantage of all the press and promo and the radio room, and you know, and really just be around and the energy and the vibe of it. It's, I think when you're this long in the industry, and you'll see it, a lot of artists don't go unless they're nominated,
right,
or unless they're doing something there. So I'm not for the I like sleep.
Felt like that would be my thing.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of all of those lights in my damn eyes and shit.
Sometimes it's fun.
Maybe.
I think it would be fun if you were nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
it
seems like if you're not, then to go through like, all that hair and makeup.
I totally get it now.
It's a long, long ass day.
And don't be fooled. It starts at like 12 in the afternoon, doesn't end until 12 at night. You start getting ready at like 11, 10.
Oh,
like
no.
It's real. Oh, that day is long.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of your American boy and his rant after the show?
Yeah. Well, I'm just here so I don't get fined. You know what? I say this. Yeezy is passionate. He is a passionate motherfucker. He's just, that's him. That's his opinion. I didn't disagree with most of it.
So.
But my thing is, I don't know Beck's music to really comment about the comparisons. Mm-hmm. I just know that Yeezy's passionate. We should expect that and take it for what it is for that moment, you know?
Yeah.
I think it was funny, Jay's face when he went to almost go up.
Yeah.
I looked
at the, hilarious.
I died. I was like,
because Jay-Z looked stressed the hell out.
He looked like, what are you doing?
Like not again.
Not again, Lord.
And he was like, oh, he's joking. This is wonderful.
But you went to the parties and everything and had a good time and all that.
I had a ball. It's fun. Like, it's red wine and hanging out.
So everyone at home knows that I'm a huge geek. And I have to talk to you about Steven Universe. So listen.
He is giddy.
I'm sorry. I just love it so much.
It's all right.
So Steven Universe is a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Was it 2013?
2013.
First,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's by Rebecca Sugar. I don't know if I can explain to Crystal. I don't know if I can explain over to you exactly how great it is.
Yeah.
But you voice a character named Garnet.
I do.
Is one of the crystal gems.
Yeah.
And they're just like this, I don't know, it just reminds me of like Sailor Moon. Maybe that's why I love it so much.
Right.
It just stars these powerful like women and this boy with this,
and they take care of him, and then they defeat things in space or on planet Earth that wanna.
Love it. So do you like, are you a cartoon fan?
I am by proxy of, I have loads of brothers and sisters and grew up like down in my mid-20s, just Cartoonville. You know, every time I was home, it was like, oh my goodness, like, all right, well, son, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
We're watching this week. But when she told me about even doing the cartoon, when she was like, you know, I went to audition for it, and she started breaking down how I made it, freaked me out, because I was like, oh, okay. She didn't seem the type that even knew anything about me like that. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, well, I based kind of on the character you, or the video you did for Freak. And I was what? You know, she was like, no,
so
you know.
So she was a fan.
She was a fan. Yeah. But that record in particular, and I remember making the video for that, and everyone was looking at me crazy, like, you're gonna paint your face in black and have pink lipstick, what, you know? And I was like, it's supposed to be like a space out of, you know,
yeah,
one of my brain farts.
It all put, you know, comes together now. Yeah, that you say that, I can see it.
And then the character's like very nurturing to the kid, the other Crystal Gems and Steven,
and
so.
She has your, you know, wonderful voice.
Thank you.
And it's just like, it's just great and perfect. Sarcastic. And there just aren't very many cartoons, I feel like, that are on today that kids can watch that like make sense or that are entertaining or anything like that. Is like, I don't know if you wanted to do voice acting.
Yeah, I did.
You always did.
I did. I think after a while, it's like you hit a plateau with music, or, and you're like, what else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm creative. This is what I do. What else can I do? And I was telling my people, I want a cartoon. I want to do a cartoon. Can you get me a cartoon?
Is Steven Universe going anywhere? I feel like it could be.
We have another series.
Game, a
they
movie.
Have an app right now. I know that for sure. I'm sure there'll be games. I'm sure after like 10 series or whatever, they'll have a movie, or, you know, they'll build it.
It's such
it's
a cute
one.
Show. You
I'm going to have
like,
to watch
so
it.
Good. So tell everyone about your foundation, All of Me. Let's talk about products. Let's talk about things to promote, girl.
Stuff and things. All right. Well, I started my All of Me Foundation a few years ago because I'm a mental child. I was a mental kid when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, my mom, there are 9 of us, I said, and my mom was like, I don't know. What do you want to be a lawyer? I don't know what that is. Go over there and learn from someone who knows. It's the best thing she could have done, because the lady who mentored me looked like my mom, has 6 kids of her own, but was a manager at HR in the BBC. It's kind of like CNN, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so she was, you know, she looked like my mom and gave me the example of like, well, I could do it. And anything, you know, like, don't worry about the fact that you have many brothers and sisters. It's fine. Still turn up on time. Still look people in the eye. Still be confident. Still know how to present yourself. And, you know, I feel like those tools are still as relevant today as they were when I was 17, you know? So, you know, as I'm going around and I'm doing shows and I'm talking and people come at my shows, they was like, how'd you become rich and famous? I want to be like you. And I'm like, exactly. Exactly.
Did you say not when it comes to these taxes, though?
Man, listen.
I'm sorry.
No, so serious. I'm like, yeah, how much your percentage
you
willing to give
up? Of the year it is when bitches start
April's
talking like
coming.
That.
Shit. April's coming.
Right.
But like, it, you know, so I was like, man, there's more to life than just rich and famous. There's more. Go do that Instagram shit. Go be an Instagram model if that's what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You might be famous, maybe not rich, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what else do you want to do with yourself? And the more I started talking, the more it was like a feeling of helplessness. And I just felt like this is just as bad as when I was 17. You know, it's there's so much information out there and people don't feel like worthy of it almost. So I started the foundation to specifically help at that transitional age gap, age period, like between 17 and like 19, 16, 17, 19, to give them the help that they need and the encouragement and to kind of police them. Well, not police them, that's a bad phrase. That's a bad word right now. But to create the village that it's going to take to help push you to your, be your best.
Damn right.
You know? So get them before VH1 does.
Basically.
Got it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So you, that should be your bio.
That's a tagline.
I'm going to give you credit. That's going to be it.
Get that's before a good VH1.
Yes.
But just to give them that feeling of like, man, I don't have to be a singer or, you know, or any of the things that anyone's telling me to be. And it, no matter how many people around me are telling me that that's not my destiny. My mom has 6 kids at the time. My family trajectory should be, I should have about 6 kids now. And I should be living in the hood. Like, you know, and no disrespect to anyone who is, but I just didn't want to follow that path. You know, I have friends who were 15 years old, got pregnant, and I just didn't want to do that. You know, I was like, I want to do better. I want to do more. I don't know how, you know. So going to that course gave me a way out, gave me somebody to be able to call and be like, so I'm going for a job interview. How do I speak?
Right.
What do I wear? What do I look like? What do I say if they say this and they undermine me or they talk to me crazy? How do I not slap them? <You know? laughs> So that's my whole
that's
thing
valid.
With this. It's real and valid. And, you know, so that's what we try to do. We have about, we the first year we took 17 kids to Senegal, which is where my parents are from.
Wow.
My mom's from. Dope. And they did a course for the first 6 months and then at the end of the course they went to Senegal. And that's the whole, to give them travel, give them experiences that no one, they'll never get on their own. Because no one's willing mm-hmm. to spend that money or take that time or talk to them, you know?
You're right. Like a pretty young British Principal Clark. Like a lady Principal right. Clark.
The doors, the chains off the doors.
I grew up in the hood and I saw a lot of girls get pregnant as teenagers in high school and stuff like that. And I really feel like had they had, you know, somebody that something should just else. Show them that there was a world outside right. of, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, then,
right.
you know, maybe they can start dreaming something bigger for themselves than what they currently see themselves in. So I think that's great.
Exactly,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. And it's not just about, you know, being pregnant. There's people, girls who ain't pregnant or guys
right.
who ain't pregnant.
No,
it's
all
just
kinds
about,
of situations.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. I think we can all help each other. And if I'm able to help, and for this year, we've sponsored 2 kids to stay in college. So mm-hmm. we've been paying for their semesters per year as they go around. And all they have to do is volunteer and mentor somebody else. That's kind of what we ask them to do. You know, just to give back, just to keep paying it forward.
Because
right. it's just about helping, you know? That's the bottom line.
Putting good shit awesome. In the universe. That's dope.
Yeah.
And did Stevens. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was wide open.
Such a
So what else do you want to tell the kids at
yes.
home about before? I mean, we already know True Romance, February
17th. February 17th.
Yes,
sir. That's coming out February 17th. I'm going to be on Empire.
Oh yes!
Shut up! Oh right, in March.
Yeah.
Oh March my God! 4th. I'm so excited for you.
I'm so excited too.
You can't tell.
So
us.
You know we're like addicted.
A what can
you
a little bit?
What can you tell us?
Well, I sing my single Conqueror.
Okay.
Show,
mm-hmm.
with
that makes
someone
sense.
Special. So. You'll
oh
see
my
it.
God!
It's a moment. It's a moment.
I bet it's Terrence
it's
Howard.
But listen, I got to act with him, and I was pretty happy with my life.
Where
at that
you?
Point, it was a moment. It was very.
Is he like super fine in person?
You know what? He's good looking. He's
yeah.
charming. He's a you know.
He's charming.
He is. He's like an older guy.
I want to be
like,
an Empire.
I feel like he's like a black Bill Clinton.
Like, you know what?
I just feel like he
you
could charm what? The shit out of anybody he wants.
Okay.
To. Absolutely could.
So since me on Empire very
is it Bill
soon.
Clinton already blind?
No, you've got scarves.
Scarves. I do. I have an accessories line called Soiree. It's my second name, which I decided to start because I like the shit I like and people like some of the shit I like. And so I figured
damn
well,
right.
I don't make shit I
there
like.
You go.
Absolutely.
Estella, thank you so, so
thank
much
for
coming by.
And the dope-ass sweatshirts.
Yes, you've got
I'm so excited about this.
We'll
I love it.
You can't have because you're not here. Because
we're friends with this guy.
So, yes, make sure that you grab that album. It's
yep.
going to be great.
True
make sure
romance.
That you watch Steven Universe like
please.
I do because it's so good.
Watch her on Empire.
Yes.
I think on March 4th.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm excited.
And yes. just support Estelle and her. Oh, thank your you. Foundation. What's the website?
All of or? Me Foundation.
All of Me Foundation.
Yeah,
all right.
Foundation.
So Google that and find out more. Thanks so
yeah.
much for coming through.
Thanks for having
thank
me.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks
it's wonderful to be here. I appreciate you.
We'll be right back, you guys.
Hey guys, do not forget about Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair, just like we have here at The Read. This is the first and only shaving system created for men with that particular hair type. Created by Tristan Walker, who is a young entrepreneur, been blowing up, been seeing his name everywhere. He found a void in the marketplace for young men of color who needed specific shaving products, and he came through. Nas is an early investor in the company, and it is a great, high-class experience as far as the shaving products are going. It's nothing on the bottom shelf with outdated or unrelatable packaging, and it has a great, amazing shave. Kid Fury could tell you more about it.
Yes, so listen, I was blessed with the Bevel razor not too long ago. I've told y'all before, I am obsessed with it. I like a nice clean shave, but I also like to have smooth, non-irritated skin. And that's what I get with this razor. Like, seriously, I'm not reading off of anything. I just really really enjoy it. And I also didn't know that Bevel was like on some like GQ lifestyle influencer kind of stuff. Classy. It's like really classy and just very awesome and black and amazing. The product absolutely works. I love the way that it looks. I love the cream and everything that comes with it. It just caters to my skin, my hair, my situation. And if that's not dope, then I don't know what it is. So go and check them out. They also did an interview on me, so I feel very attached to the product. No, I'm kidding. It's really great razor, though. It's awesome. So go and check them out.
The Bevel is amazing. They are fantastic. It has been clinically proven to reduce and prevent razor bumps. And like your Fury said, it comes in completely gorgeous and sexy packaging. You're gonna love it. So go to getbevel.com and use code The Read to get 20% off your month at getbevel.com. That is getbevel.com. Shout out to Tristan Walker and your amazing shaving system. We love it over here. You guys are gonna love it too. And let's get back to the show.
So it's time for some quick letters.
It is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. And since we did the mailbag episode, we've had quite a few updates come in this week. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So our first update comes from Dimitri. Dimitri is the young man who emailed us about his white boyfriend calling him a nigga, and he wanted to know how they would move forward and such as.
Is everyone still alive?
Looks like it. I'm just scanning right now, but it says, it's Dimitri. After listening to y'all's advice, I decided to part ways with my boyfriend.
Okay.
I also decided to tell my mother about him calling me a nigga, and I made it very clear to her to not inform my father because he is a former Marine. Okay.
There's that.
Well, she snitched anyway, and my dad with all six of my uncle. Does this get violent?
Hey.
She snitched, and my dad with all six of my uncles who have been in the line of service found themselves at my ex-boyfriend's parents' house.
Sure did.
I don't know how they knew that he was staying there, but they waxed his ass and pistol whipped his daddy when he tried to intervene. Okay. Really? Jesus.
Shit happens.
Luckily, the police got involved. That's the first time a black person has ever said that. And de-escalated the situation. I have a new lease on life, and I'm looking forward to finding a good black man. I'm too young to be getting married anyway. P.S. We were arguing about inviting his ex. Okay. Well, I'm so glad that you got out of that. What a mess. I don't.
Pistol whip.
I can't.
Daddy.
Your daddy.
I have no comment.
First of all, I just.
Because you know what?
Like, I'm kind of, like, on the one hand, it's like, come on, y'all. This is just, you can't be going around pistol whipping people. But on the other hand, your son called my boy a nigga, so he getting this ass whooping and you getting it too. So it's like, I really do see both sides of this shit.
You know, can't we all just get along?
No, we all cannot.
Sure can't.
We have another update this week. Like I said, we have two. And this one is from the, or three. This one's from the young lady who had the problem with her dog and the, or the boyfriend's dog. And he was letting the dog in the kitchen and shit while he was cooking. And she was just like,
oh, that nasty ass nigga that doesn't understand. Like, okay. Yeah, yeah.
She said, thanks for responding, y'all. I already have an update. Last week after I confronted my boyfriend and telling him not to cook for me, he got offended. So offended that we didn't talk for 5 days. Okay. I decided to fall back and not hit him up first because we've had this conversation before and I let him know how I felt, so he should have respected what I said. Anyway, he conveniently texted me just 2 days before his birthday and he came over on his birthday. Oh, wait, no. So he comes over for his birthday and we're getting ready to go out for brunch. He's attempting to post a pic to Instagram, and when his photo album opens up, I see a pic of some girl. I calmly asked who it was, and he said his coworker. And I said, okay, why do you have her pic saved in your phone? And you know this nigga had the audacity to respond, IDK. Jesus. Y'all, I fell the fuck out. I'm like, how you don't know, and then come up with some story about how he sent it to one of his friends trying to hook them up. If I ask why some bitch that is not me, your mom or your that sister in your phone.
Such a bad lie.
IDK is never an acceptable answer. God blocked it. Here I was about to spend my hard-earned money on this nigga going to brunch and dinner and all this other shit. I told that nigga happy birthday and goodbye. Not to mention those 5 days he wasn't contacting me, I was offered a new consultant position at a new company, meaning I'll be traveling for work 100% of the time.
And, you know, bad bitch happily ever after.
I'll only be able to come home for a few days each month, if that, and I believe everything happens for a reason and God is preparing me for bigger and better. Great. P.S. He did let the dog go in the bathroom too, which I also thought was gross, but he didn't kiss him or share a bed. I love you guys. Surprise. Don't ever stop. My goodness. What?
Do you shower with the damn dog too?
So
do they share macaroons and OJ? And like, sit mimosas together on
I'm just
Sunday.
So good. Do they dine with one another? Do he and the dog sit and consult about life?
Do they share popcorn over episodes of Six
Stock
Feet
portfolios.
Under?
Portfolios. This dog is his best fucking...
The fuck?
Whatever. I'm so glad that you managed to catch him. I guess he was cheating on you. I don't know what the fuck that was. I actually don't even know how you saw him posting a picture to Instagram and then saw the other pictures in his camera roll.
Remember when Tay and I, we were talking about this, and I was saying maybe, you know, the nastiness of the dog situation is actually just a red flag letting you know, hey, he's not afraid to munch dog fur.
Okay.
Maybe... He right. just doesn't make great choice. Listen, you just have to pay attention to decision making sometimes, like the way people process things. What else you got?
Oh, no. I just read the last update. It's worse than I thought it would be.
What letter was it for?
Well, this is from Smell and Taste.
So this was the read. We thank you all so much for listening.
Oh, no, you don't, bitch. So it says, hey, Crystal and Fury.
So the acronym for this week
is we're actually not doing that yet. Nope, it's actually not time for that yet. Nope, it's actually not.
Bitch, you tried
it. We're
going
to ask you for that later.
Because no
miss. We're not. We don't need the acronym from you right now because it's my turn to read the update. And it says, I'm sorry for being so vulgar with my letter. You guys were both right. I don't talk to him at all anymore. And
you damn right you don't.
It's not over. I don't talk to him at all anymore, and I try to forget I ever did. Long story short, the reason his parts had such a bad smell.
Oh my god. I can't
this
wait.
This is not
just let
funny.
Me brace
it's
myself.
Not funny.
Let me brace myself. Oh my god.
The reason his parts
oh
had such
my
a bad.
God. Wait. I can't wait. Hold on. Wait. This isn't fair. This is cruel than usual punishment.
Had such a bad smell and taste is because he has gonorrhea.
I'm leaving. I'm out. I'm not doing
this. I told him his dick stinks and he got so mad. I'm going to go get tested. Thanks so much. All right. So this is the sort of thing that I just don't even
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Get
Crystal.
Your ass back on the mic. Take a
this
top
is
of your...
bullshit.
Who you telling? Sweetie.
She is a liar. That is the devil
that can't...
in our inbox.
So I'm hoping you're trolling us with this because the...
She is a lie.
I just don't. I really don't want to believe
entire lie
that you repeatedly put like gonorrhea dick and gonorrhea balls in your mouth. I don't know how gonorrhea works, but
dare you?
I feel like is there some sort of outbreak or I don't. I don't know. I just want to pray for you.
You are sorry about being vulgar about your previous letter.
I feel like you should.
And then you want to tell us that you have been sucking on an STD? You know what? God bless you. God go with you in every walk of life, madam. Mm-hmm. I have nothing for you. I have zero for you. I don't have it. I cannot even think to reach for a single word in my vocabulary and provide it to you. I have nothing for you, nothing for smelling taste, nothing for gonorrhea. I have nothing for anybody involved in this. Disgust. Fuck. What? Ew.
All right. Thank you for being so vocal about that. Did you see anything in the inbox that you wanted to talk about?
She has been doing What? You are a liar. You are a liar. I don't believe you. I do not believe you. You're a lie. That's how I feel about it. And if you really were, you need to consult your nearest physician and a prayer coach.
She says she's going to get tested and pray about it and hope she doesn't have anything. And I just feel like, you know what? Okay. I'm just going to let that go.
Because you need to sue him.
What comfort do we have to offer you, girl? What? There's nothing. There's nothing here. You need a bomb, but it's way even, over.
You wouldn't even Gilead. Have a case if you did sue him. Because I could represent the fucking... I could go to him and be like, Your Honor, she smelled it and she tasted it anyway. Case closed. That's it. You get nothing. Nothing.
All right.
None.
Okay.
Zero.
So anything...
Yuck.
Did you see anything in the inbox or not? You good?
Because mine, with the shit that I found, was about sex too, and I don't even want to think about it. And this is some nasty heifer too.
This is really all... Never mind. It's not your fault.
So those were the letters. Because I don't...
So this week we just have updates because we're not able to do letters this week. Wait, what about, you didn't see, I thought you saw one that you thought was fun and cute. No? Or you just saw?
Oh, the horror movie one?
Yeah. Let's see.
Okay, so, fuck, I don't even know where it is. There was someone who asked us if we were all in a horror movie, meaning you, myself, Dustin, and Asante.
Okay.
Who would die first and who would be the one in the end who
what
was covered in soot and speaking to the police. I don't know. It was such a good letter.
Oh, so you did all this off the top of your head. I'm sorry. I thought you were reading right now.
No, I wasn't. All right. I was skimming through this inbox trying to find what the fuck I'm talking about because you just blindsided me. Oh, I found it.
Blindsided you?
The question, it says, hey, Kiffy and Crystal. The question popped in my head during last week's episode because I absolutely love when you guys have Dustin and Asante in the studio. This is because 9 times out of 10, there are 4 totally different perspectives to different topics. It's always nice to consider all those perspectives. What I want to know is, if Kid Fury, Crystal, Dustin, and Asante were in a horror movie, what do you guys think, who do you guys think would die first? Who would end up standing outside the house wrapped in a blanket with dirt on their face answering all the police questions in the end? And also, who do you think would be doing random shit in the middle, like trying to kill others or run away alone? Thanks, Deidre, I think.
Okay.
Deidre.
So, wait, who would be standing in the middle trying to kill other people?
Who would die first? Who would live? And who would be like...
Lord.
I don't know. The faith.
The faith?
Fuck that husband to do something really weird in the middle that fucks everybody's life up. I don't know. You would live.
I feel like I would too.
You would be the one who would live.
I feel like I would survive pretty long.
I would probably die first.
That's the same thing I would say. No shade.
Okay.
I just think you would die first.
Thanks.
You just, I mean, I don't.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it and I just.
Alrighty.
I mean, you said it like.
It always hurts when you're not the one that says it. But it's fine.
How dare you? I even let you say it first because I didn't want to say it first.
I probably would, but it's fine.
I mean, it just is what it is. I think if anybody could like be the one to just kind of come through and help kill other niggas or like keep us safe as long as possible, that would definitely be Dustin. Like, I'm not sure if that's what that person was saying. Or, you know, and then I think I heard something about running away. And I think if anybody got a chance to, like, get away and be like, fuck you bitches, I'm going to safety, then I think it would be Asante.
Okay.
Because I can see Asante being like, listen, bitch, I have to go home. I have to see my mom again.
Asante would be like, you would look over and be like, oh, my God, where's Asante? They got Tay.
And that nigga's
and then he would call you and be like, girl, I'm at home. Like... I didn't know what y'all were going to do.
So I felt the vibe in the room shift, and I said, oh, let me get my ass up because I ain't got time for this shit. So I think if we were in a scary movie, that's probably how it would go. Or maybe I would just, you know, I don't see myself dying first. I might not last all the way to the end. I might die second to last, but I'm not going to go first.
I feel like you would have, like, you would have the Scream Queen moment at the end where you killed the killer, like with like a battle axe.
I'm just gonna go into
and
he, like
scream some huge like some kind of like a lesbian battle cry.
Yes, I'm gonna be like in full utilitarian like lesbian battle mode. It's gonna be like
okay. Like a Xena.
Yes, it's gonna be like Xena slash like Lara Croft slash like
Sailor Uranus.
Not Sailor Uranus, because I don't know who that is. Who
the
is that?
Stud from Sailor Moon.
Oh, okay. The Stud. All right. If yeah. you say so. I'm just going to be like, nope, I'm not fucking dying today. I'm going to have like my Home Depot kit in the bag, building shelters and shit. I would do whatever the fuck I have to do, but I'm not dying in this white people shit. Like, I can just see me being like completely resolute about either. That. But, you know.
She sucked his dick with gonorrhea.
You're still on it. All right. So we're not.
All right. Fuck.
So thanks so much for sending your questions to asktheread@gmail.com, and we will be right back.
Hey, guys. Do not forget to check out our awesome, amazing sponsors over at NatureBox. I've seen loads of you sending us photos of your NatureBox gifts and prizes and surprises and lovely treats when they arrive. If you don't know, you can go to naturebox.com/the read. They're an amazing subscription service that send smart, delicious snacks mm-hmm. to your house that you can just chow down on and not feel all bloated and gross about afterwards.
Yes.
If you go to naturebox.com/the read, they're offering 5 free snacks. They've got so many different ones to choose from. We're always raving about their sriracha covered cashews. But I also love the praline pumpkin seeds, and I love the garden tomato crunchies. They've got granola, they've got almonds, they've got oatmeal, so much.
Yes, and if you're on the go a lot like I am, Lord knows life can be hectic, and it can be hard to make good snacking choices, especially if you're like hungry and you just need something right now. So head on over to naturebox.com/the read, have it sent straight to the home or office so you have it on deck. Whenever you are starting to feel a little bit hungry, they have over 100 nutritionist approved snacks, something for everyone with zero artificial flavors, colors, sweeteners, trans fats, and zero high fructose corn syrup. So again, naturebox.com/the read for your 5 free snacks. Head on over there, let them know that the read sent you, and keep sending us those pictures.
Yes, those pumpkin seeds are so good.
Yum.
Go try them out, and let's continue the show. So it's time for the read.
Yes, it is.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, or? Just because you brought it up, and I had actually completely forgotten about it, and there's so much real shit to cuss out this week.
Well, Empire's on, and I DVR'd it, so if okay. we could just...
Well, I mean, so since you DVR'd it, that means you can watch it whenever.
Okay.
But what I was gonna say is that Iggy Azalea is a fucking idiot.
Right, okay.
And Iggy Azalea is the type of idiot who... It's like... Even when she's right, you still have to be mad at her or pissed off or annoyed by her, because why is she so goddamn stupid? So this is what happened. Iggy Azalea ordered a pizza from Papa John's, which is a mistake a lot of people make. Now, I admit to eating Papa John's, mostly because it was like the only pizza spot in the neighborhood.
And I
was,
mean, come on.
I mean, and
good.
When I was on when I was in college, it was on campus. So, of course, everybody ate there. But it's not. No, sis. I'm sorry. It's not.
It's not the best pizza
right,
in the world.
And you live
but
in
it's
fucking
good.
New York.
Yes, New York.
Where you can get
better.
One slice of pizza for $1 that is better than an entire pie at Papa John's.
Yes, now.
I'm just saying.
Papa John's is just a shit individual.
Papa John's, yes, he's a shit person.
Okay.
And that makes it easier to shit on his sugary ass pizza. Okay. But when it's all this in the hood, then it's all this in the hood. Anyway, Iggy Azalea, who is a rich white bitch with options.
Okay.
Ordered from Papa John's. And she didn't just order from Papa John's. Like, Iggy Azalea, who is right now and probably for the next 20 to 30 minutes, a global superstar. Iggy Azalea, who is on every magazine, every website, every celebrity entertainment news thing. You cannot go anywhere without seeing her fucking face. Iggy Azalea ordered a pizza, gave them her real fucking phone number, and evidently was the bitch to answer the door and like sign for the order. So listen, this sounds like not a big deal if you're a regular ass person, because you do this every day. But if the entire fucking country knows your name, face, your real voice, your voice you use when you're rapping. They've seen your before pictures when you had the when you didn't have the ass and now you do. We've seen your videos from when you thought you wanted to be Britney and then you decided rap was going to be the avenue to go down. Like, we know who the fuck you are, Iggy Azalea. Why would you give your real ass telephone number to a fucking teenager who delivers pizza? Like, why are you even the bitch answering the door? You mean to tell me of all the useless groupies and fuck niggas and bitches who do hair, everybody around you, nobody else could have put their phone number into the fucking app? Nobody else could have answered the door? So, because Iggy Azalea is a huge star and some idiot ass teenager recognized her dumb ass while delivering her pizza, her fucking cheese pizza, this bitch got on Twitter and tweeted Papa John's and was like, I can't believe your employee came through here and dropped off my pizza and then gave my phone number out to all his friends and I've been getting texts all day, and attach a screenshot from some kid who's like, oh my god, Iggy Azalea, I love you, I can't believe this is really you, da da da. Okay, so listen, Iggy Azalea has a point. Papa John's, this was fucked up. A customer's personal information should not be shared like that. And Papa John's was trying to like joke with her about it, and she was very serious. And okay, I get it, because I would be mad too. But I would never be so goddamn stupid as to give my real fucking number to a delivery place and then answer the door as if I am not a famous fucking person. Like, I don't get it. Even when I'm ordering lunch at work, I use my Google Voice. Like, this is why God made Google Voice. But even if you cannot be bothered to remember your Google Voice phone number, do you really mean to tell me that Iggy Azalea has no assistant or hype man or a boyfriend or fucking anybody? You don't have a cousin or a best friend from home who ain't got shit else to do, or like Melissa or anybody? You don't have nobody in your life.
Google Voice number.
Nobody who could have answered the fucking door for you? How fucking stupid can you be? So no, bitch, the dumbass delivery driver should not have passed out your number. And yes, it sucks that now you have to get a new phone number and Papa John's and everybody else on the internet is laughing at you, but maybe you ought to take a good hard look at yourself and say, what the fuck did I think was gonna happen? Stupid ass bitch, stick your face in a beehive and then be wondering why you walk away stung. Like, I don't have time for her.
Personally,
dumbass.
I get uncomfortable when they ask me if I have a Duane Reade card.
Do you?
And
do you
what get my and if you do, because then they're like, if you don't have one, you can just put your number in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mind your business.
Oh, when I signed up for Duane Reade, I gave them my Google Voice. Like, I do not fuck around about my fucking
and
phone number.
I ain't nobody.
So I don't see how you can be Grammy nominated. Not, you didn't win none, but all right. You can be Grammy nominated and be this huge fake white rap hope and really think that you can order a cheese pizza from Papa John's and with your real fucking phone number and nothing's gonna happen with that. Like, you really thought that? You're a fucking idiot. And there's so many people I could have read in place for today. I think I got enough reads for the next month, because the next Azalea is next week. But anyway, I'm done. That's my read.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. What's yours?
So, my read is going to go out to, and Lord help me through it, because I'm in need of a nap. But
sure.
My read is going to go out to the International Little League group of America, whatever the fuck you call them.
Oh, my God.
Little League International, Little League Worldwide, whatever the fuck you call them. And the Evergreen Park Little League Vice President Chris James, any and everyone else who had anything to do with Jackie Robinson West being stripped of their Little League World Series title.
Woo!
These kids from Southside Chicago. Not sure if all of you remember last summer, we were all like super hype because this like all black group.
It's okay.
You're okay?
I'm all right.
This all black Little League group had won the World Series and all of that. You know, it was just like an exciting moment for black kids, for black people,
exactly.
For, you know, just like a really great moment for these kids. And especially, you know, being black youth from Southside Chicago, like moments like that are very, very important because they say, look, like, you know, like sometimes black kids, especially in a certain environment, they need to like go through things. They need to be pushed and shown that they are worthy of, you know, of recognition, and that they're important and that they can do great things, because they just are automatically placed into the mindset that they ain't worth shit and they can't offer the world anything and they can't do anything, because that's just the way that this society is built. Anyway, so they won that title last summer, and now they have been stripped of the title because some real angry petty white folk from a neighboring league, and I guess some other little places in Little League, I don't know, the executive branch, the capital, I don't know, whatever the fuck you call Little League shit.
Jurisdictions?
Yeah, them hoes.
Perhaps.
They went to the tippity top of this tree and have complained, saying that the team should be disqualified. Jackie Robinson West should be disqualified because they broke the rules by having players from having players that were ineligible due to the region that they lived in. Like, basically,
they didn't qualify
to play on their team because they weren't from the region that qualified as Jackie Robinson West or what have you. Mm-hmm. So they, like, really, like, went to the books about it and must have been digging since last summer trying to find some sort of information to take this title away from these white kids.
Right.
And what, these black kids, what really annoys me about it is that it's kind of like smeared in all of this fake concern or sympathy. Like, it's just really sucks that the kids have to go through this, and it's just all the adults' fault that they're having to, you know, experience this loss, but rules are rules and blah blah blah. Cut the fucking shit. Now listen, if there were presidents, vice presidents, coaches, whoever in this group for Jackie Robinson, mm-hmm, that knew that they were breaking the rules and did whatever the fuck, they took that chance and they got caught for it. But my thing is, let's not sit up here and act like this is just some unheard of shit.
Right.
Like, let's get down to, like, the denominator here, the common one. Because I also read that the only other times there have been, like, I think this is the third time,
I think so, too,
in Little League history, mm-hmm, that this has happened, where a team had to vacate their title or whatever, and the first time it was a Filipino team in like 92.
Yeah.
And then it was a bunch of Latin kids from the Bronx in like 2001 or something like that. Hmm. And now it's these black kids from Southside Chicago. So you mean to tell me, and all for similar things, somebody was too old or too young or didn't live where they said they lived or whatever the fuck. So now some random ass fucking team, Mountain Ridge, whatever the fuck, in Las Vegas, a whole bunch of white faces, they are getting this title a whole almost year later, mm-hmm, because of, like, come on. First of all, if it was all of that, why the fuck are you just now finding this out? How the fuck did they manage to beat you and you and you and you and advance to here and advance to there and all of this and win this fucking title, and the whole summer comes by and now you're coming here with this information? Like, if they were breaking some sort of rules or whatever, or if they weren't playing, like, you should have caught that ages before. Like, that should have been addressed already. Like, they won this motherfucking title, they got their award, like, they won. That wasn't why would you, you're taking that away from children, like, mm-hmm, from kids, you know what I'm saying? At the very least, like, if you really wanted to be petty about it, because let's not even sit up here and act like there ain't no white ass teams around here who have got kids on their teams that don't live where the fuck they say they live, mm-hmm, or that don't. So I'm surprised plenty of these little white Little League players ain't fucking taking enhanced drugs. Like, I wouldn't be fucking surprised if they out here swallowing fucking tablets to make them run around on the field like Sonic the goddamn Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, like, cut the fucking shit. Cut the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a problem because of who it is that's playing.
Right.
That's it.
You're
that's
mad because they it beat is. You.
You're mad that these black kids beat you. You're mad that these black kids came out here on this motherfucking field and they show their athletic asses off as they always fucking do, and they beat you. That's what it is. And you and what's worse is the snitch won even in the World Series. They were probably just more mad that they didn't make it there. So, like, you're really taking a moment away from kids because you're just so pissed that these little black kids, had they been a white team, no one would have been looking up no damn dirt. They would have just been some really fucking awesome kids, and that's just the thrill of the damn game or whatever the fuck. Like,
I mean, since it's so serious, then let's go ahead and run background checks on every kid.
Let's go.
In every Little League. Since it's that serious.
Right.
Since it's that fucking important.
Since it's so serious that a whole fucking year later, you would be like, hey, let's take this title that these kids bust their ass off for. And like that really, like, so you're basically, you're telling them now that they're cheaters, that they're liars, that they don't deserve shit, like, and you don't even give a fuck. And what's worse is, had they been your team, no one would say anything. You would be fighting, you would be arguing, you would be like, you, no one would, those kids could have never said, oh, they've got kids on their team that play or that live in the suburbs, they got kids on their team that are too old, or they got kids on their team with Popeye arms and they're cheating or whatever, because they would have looked right back at their black asses and been like, you niggas lost, go the fuck home and get better next year and maybe you can win. Like, that's what it would have, like, I just feel like it's so fucking petty and it's disgusting to strip a title from these kids that, regardless of where they live, they worked their asses off for you and they beat you. Like, what was it, was like 43-2,
right, and they whooped your ass,
they fucked you up, you weren't gonna win regardless of what, like, they won,
and it was
they
like
just
three
beat you,
kids
girl.
From the suburbs, the rest of the team, you know, I guess lived in whatever area they were supposed to live in, and these other three kids lived in a different area, and so all of a sudden it is just like such a terrible, horrible thing that kids from the suburbs are playing with kids who, you know, are in a different jurisdiction or whatever, and so now we need to take the title away from the kids, just take it all away.
They could have been
fair
born
is fair, cheating and this
they could have been born by a river in a little tent.
Okay,
they fucking beat you,
yeah,
and they earned it, period. It's so fucking petty and it's disgusting that you would go after a whole bunch of little kids that, like, deserve some shit like that because, like, of some petty shit that ain't even got to do with you, bitch. Like, nothing even to do with you. You should be ashamed of yourself. Chris Janes and whoever the fuck else took glee in taking that moment away from those kids and then lying and covering it in false fucking sympathy, which a bitch made ass is. You have a special spot in hell with some Tabasco sauce in your ass, ho. That was so aggressive.
I mean, it was, but it was deserved.
I just couldn't stop. I couldn't, it wouldn't stop.
And I feel like this story is so much deeper than just what is really there. I was reading, there's this person on Twitter, his Twitter handle is The Boy Illinois, and I guess he's from this same area and actually grew up playing Little League in Chicago, and he was saying how different baseball parks and like safe places for kids to play have been like shut down and stuff, and so eventually, you know, the kids who play kind of all congregate in one area or another because there's nowhere else for them to go, especially in fucking summertime Chicago. You know, you need your kids somewhere fucking safe. So, and if you don't have safe spaces open for children, then they go where they have to go. And so if these kids are going around, and this is coming from somebody who grew up playing Little League baseball in this area and knows these teams, if these kids are going around to other places just trying to go where the fuck they can be safe, you know, and do something with themselves during the summertime or after school or whatever the fuck else, then how can you be mad when they come together and play on a team and then beat your ass? Oh, because they beat your ass. Because they were black children and they won. And so you're mad about it. All right. Well, fuck y'all.
So that's mine. I'm finished.
All right. So that wraps
try
up.
Try my best.
I love it. Thank you so much. I was actually going to do that one till you brought up Iggy Azalea's ass and then it made me mad all over again. So thanks for checking out another episode of The Read. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at This Is The Read. Check out thisistheread.com for a link to every episode, host bios, and a link to all of our guests and all kinds of stuff. You can see where we'll be next. Speaking of which, today we are at Virginia Tech University. Actually, I don't think it's Virginia Tech University. I think it's just Virginia Tech.
I think it's just Virginia Tech.
So go Hokies, and we'll see y'all tonight.
What's a Hokie? Like a sandwich?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to let you ask that at the show, and you're going to see what they say. But you ask them if Hokie is a sandwich and see what happens.
Is this like their bird or like their it's little like their, sports their mascot. Thing? Whatever.
All right. Do you have any other news or announcements or such as?
So, listen. I just want to say that I am going through it. Like, I am having a creative meltdown right now.
You are?
Yes.
Are you having like a are you having a moment? Do we need to like
No, I'm not having like a moment. Okay. I'm just like I don't know why I just felt the need to say that, but I'm just working at some like new things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of in like a cocoon right now.
I feel the same way emotionally.
And not just emotionally, but like literally like in my like work, like my career, like I'm doing brand new things. I'm working on a lot of new things. I'm going to be expressing. I'm just doing things.
Okay.
And so I don't know what it appears to be looking. I don't know what people think I'm doing because I know I haven't. Really being like been on YouTube like that, and I don't know.
I just feel kind of
like
right now.
I feel like I guess I'm trying to say that I just feel like a little detached from, you know, like my normal way of doing things. Like
okay.
I'm not. I just want, I guess, to express to people that like right now in my life, I'm working on like a lot of new things that I'm excited about, but also kind of afraid and like. Writer's block, like there's just a lot going on, and so this is the year of new things.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I can just find like lots of encouragement and inspiration and stuff, because I just feel like I'm it. I don't know, maybe it's like a creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just maybe like other creative artists
I feel like
will understand.
Probably most people can understand how you feel about that.
It's just like I feel like I'm on. Anyway, this doesn't have anything to do with y'all. So,
okay, well, thanks for the update.
Thank you so much for listening to whatever the fuck that was.
Thank you, Estelle, for coming through. Make sure y'all get True Romance out on February 17th.
Yes. And yeah.
Are you done?
The acronym will be NM. GM.
All right. Not even. No more good mornings.
No more gonorrhea mouth.
Oh my
How
God.
How fucking dare you?
How fucking dare
right
you?
Right into this goddamn show.
Bitch.
With that nastiness. I'm leaving.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.
Hey, y'all, this podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account, so if you're looking for creative ways to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday treats they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. As for me, I'm very qualified to help y'all learn how to maybe start journaling every day to get your thoughts out and improve your mental health, or I could teach you how to get on the nerves of every man in a 5-mile radius. I'm an expert at that. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online courses. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and then tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine editor. With Squarespace courses, you can create engaging content that your audience will love, then simply add a paywall and set the price. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or sell subscriptions. It's up to you. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. Just head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/read to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/READ. Let them know Kefir and Crystal sent you.